They were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your lovely presence, Lord. Not just here today in the service, Lord, but in our lives daily. Thank you that you are in us and that you are around us, Lord. That you are above us and beneath us. That you go before us. That you follow behind us. That you cover our left, you cover our right, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, God, that you poured out your Spirit on us. That we have a helper and we are not alone. We glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome, everyone. It's great to have you in the house of the Lord. Thank you to the band that facilitated that. Thank you for you as a congregation that engaged. It's beautiful. The title of my sermon this morning is Life is in the Blood. And I already read Acts 2, and then in capital letters I actually put out there that we should never forget how we got here. And if I talk about here, I'm not talking about how you got here this morning. I'm talking about what we are celebrating today. And today is Pentecost Sunday. So Pentecost Sunday is 50 days after Passover, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And since I'm in Leviticus, I'm going to try and build a bridge between this day and the book of Leviticus. So we're going to be here all day, maybe a whole year. But I want to encourage you guys. I'm not gonna read that for the sake of time. But in Leviticus 16, the Lord, he speaks to Moses, and he tells Moses about the holiness of the temple. And it was actually after Aaron's sons died. I think I mentioned it last week. They burnt profane fire in the presence of the Lord. So they were too casual and too familiar in God's presence. We don't exactly know what their sin was, but God just struck them right there. And they died. And then then Moses gave this command, which actually led to the tradition of the high priest going into the most holy place and to make atonement for himself and for the nation once a year. So you can read all of that in Leviticus 16. And the next scripture that I just want to focus on is Leviticus 17, verse 11. If you guys can put that on there. It says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life." And as we were worshiping, I was standing there at the back, and sometimes my sermons aren't finished. It's not fully prepared when I come and stand there. There's stuff that the Lord, the charismatics like to talk about downloads. There's downloads that take place. It's just things that I think about. I don't know if other people get other different downloads. But I was standing at the back there, and I was thinking about this scripture, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life." Atonement by the life. And the word life, we have to think of love when we hear this word life. That my love, it's going to be a very teary Sunday. My heart is full of joy, but it's just amazing that there's so much love in life, and that love was poured out for us. And we know where this is going. Most of you, unless this is your first time in a church, you know where this is going. You know I'm going to end up with Jesus on the cross. But this is the book of Leviticus. The people that were living in Leviticus, some of them probably by prophetic foresight knew where God was pointing. But the whole Bible, all of life, was pointing towards the cross of Jesus Christ. That was the purpose of Leviticus. And we see in this book that God comes and He gives direction to His people of how they should sacrifice. And the reason was because God took His people and He gave them the commandments. And when we hear commandments, what we should hear is not just words that God Himself wrote on two slabs. What we should hear is a way of life. God gave a way of life to His people. But God also knew that His people were tainted in sin. And therefore, He had to bring in a sacrifice to atone for that sin. Because God is holy and God is just, and He must penalize sin. He must judge sin. He doesn't have another choice. He must judge sin because He is holy and He is righteous. So God gave us the law. He gave us the way of life. But because we do not know how to live that life 100%, we sin, we mess up, we make mistakes. And therefore God put in the system of sacrifice to atone for that sin. But the third thing that He gave us as well is free choice. He said we can decide whether we want to have life or whether we want to have death. Whether we're going to obey this way of life or not. Whether we're going to steward this desire to want to do the will of God. Or do we want to do the will of the world, the flesh, and the devil? It is our choice. We are not robots. We are not forced. That is the beauty of our God. Other religions will force you. It will force you to submit to their way of life. Our God invites. He invites and He makes a way through the sacrifice for us to live this life. And the thing about sacrifice, it wasn't a new thing that started here with Moses. The first sacrifice that we read about in the Bible was when Adam and Eve sinned. God was looking for them and they said, "We cannot come out. We are naked and we are afraid." And then God himself slaughtered animals by his grace. He should have slaughtered the people. He should have slaughtered us. By his grace, he slaughtered animals because the life is in the blood. It's not in the green of the tree. It's not in the green of the plant. It is in the blood. And God made a way. He said, animal sacrifice. So the first sacrifice that we see was these animals that were sacrificed, and they were, God made clothes for them. The first tailor in the world was our God. It must have been beautiful. I don't know, it was a suit, a garment, how it looks. We always think it was rugged. Maybe it was like Versace stuff that he made. And he covered Adam and Eve. And ever since, we forget about that because it becomes routine in our lives. Ever since, we cover up. You put on underpants and pants and trousers and a hemp and a bikey or a dress or whatever. And every time you do that and you look in the mirror, you should remind yourself, you deserve judgment. That's why we do this. We don't walk around here naked because there's still a shame on us. We forget that. But that was the first sacrifice, was Adam and Eve. And we see sacrifice then on. Cain and Abel. In the Bible, we read about that. Noah, he made a sacrifice. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And we know about the Passover, where the sacrifice was made. The sacrifice was made in every home. A lamb was slaughtered. The blood was caught up in some kind of a basin. And then it was put on the doorpost, so that the angel of death can pass by. And then we come to the places in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And we see Moses putting these things in place. We see how God comes and he says, now I have a nation that should be directed in a certain way of sacrifice. It wasn't only the Jews that made sacrifices, the Israelites. Blood sacrifice, because it came from Adam, because it came through Noah, because it came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the nations around them used altars where they sacrificed. And they sacrificed in different ways as well. They sacrificed, we know about Molech, they sacrificed children. Human beings were sacrificed. Animals were sacrificed. So this whole thing of sacrifice is so ingrained in us as human beings. We still feel that we need to sacrifice. We still feel that we need to do good to appease God. There's a conscience inside of us that is alive. The Muslims bring blood sacrifices, certain sects of them. The Hindus bring blood sacrifices still in this time. African tribes bring sacrifice still at this time. There's something in us that says we understand something, that blood must flow to cover our sin, our brokenness. There's something in us that understand that, that understand that God must be appeased. And it's all rooted in the fall of man. It's connected to that. There's a picture of an altar that I put on there. Everybody can look at that. It's just an artist depiction of the altar that was in the tabernacle of Moses. And they used to build the altars of rocks and everything. And God gave very specifics of this, how this altar should look like. And on this altar, they were sacrificed. That was God's orders. He said, bulls, and it was animals coming from your flock. You couldn't go out into the wild and shoot a deer or a rabbit or whatever and then come and sacrifice that. It had to come from your flock. It had to be something that was dear to you, close to you. So God said, let's be practical. You have bulls, you have sheep, lambs, you have goats, and you have pigeons and doves. And then it had to be without a blemish. No fault in that animal. It had to be a pure animal. And that animal no matter how good it was, no matter if it was the animal that you loved the most, you not only had to bring that animal to this altar and then tie it to the altar for a while and then it could be let go. No, this animal had to die. This animal had to bleed. This animal had to give its life. Why? To replace the person that came to bring the offering, the person that came to make the atonement. And what they did is they laid their hands on that animal, and that seems to be the pattern. That if you messed up, you would bring, if you sinned deliberately, or I'm not even sure how all of those systems work, but this is what you see in the Bible. If I messed up, I have to bring a bull or a goat or a lamb or a pigeon, something with blood in its veins from my dearest belongings. And then I would place my hands on that animal. I'd probably have to look it in the eye and say, you know, you're going to die for me now. I am going to transfer my sin, my guilt, my shame on you as an innocent animal. And then it seems that it wasn't the priest that cut that thing's throat. The person that brought the animal cut the throat, the jugular vein. And then it was handed over to the priests and they burned it on the altar. So there was some connection, intimate, deep connection with that transference and that sacrifice that took place there. The Hebrew word for altar is, I'm probably going to mispronounce this, so if you Hebrew here, please forgive me. But the word is Mizbia. Sounds like my sister-in-law. Her name is Bia. Mizbia. Which means a place of slaughter or sacrifice. It comes from the root word zabach, which comes from an old Akkadian word meaning place of slaughter. And when I read this, I thought about how we flippantly in the church talk about, hey, I'm going to make an altar call. And then everybody comes for their blessing sometimes. And I meditated about this a little bit and I realized how the grace of God covers us, but sometimes we become so familiar with the things of God, the words of God. Whether it's in church or whether it's outside of church, if you are called to an altar call, you are called to a place of slaughter. Somehow we mistranslated and misunderstood that, oh, it's the place of blessing. I'm just going to respond when there is a blessing. Somebody's going to lay hands on me, then I'll come. But before the blessing, there's a sacrifice. There's a slaughter that needs to take place. And that can translate into so many things in our lives. I'm going somewhere with this. Where do you find this altar? Rijk, if you can go to the next picture. That picture is a depiction of the layout of the camp of the Israelites when they were in the desert. There's another picture I'll show you just now, and maybe there's some creative license that the guys took when they thought of this. But for me, it's still beautiful. If this is how it looked, Rijk gaan gou na die volgende prentjie toe. There in the middle of that encampment, you would find the tabernacle of Moses. Okay? Go back. It's eniekie terug. So maybe it looked like that. Maybe they didn't camp in the form of a cross. But that's what some of my research said. They actually camped in the form of a cross. We know where this is going. But nonetheless, gooi gou vir my weer tabernakel daarop. There's the tabernacle. And within that tabernacle, you'd find the altar, It's a little thing there on the left. It's not the little thing, it's a biggish thing. And that's the altar where they made that sacrifice. So this place where the tabernacle was in the middle of the camp. It was central to their lives. God was central to their lives. To get to God, they had to make a sacrifice. They had to atone with the blood. I've got some other pictures there just to show you the insides. Like you can go to the next one. There's another picture of how the tabernacle were laid out. You can go and read about that in Leviticus, and I want to encourage you to go to Google and make a study of that. It's fascinating. That's the deursnit of the tabernacle as well, how it looked inside. It's it was the outer court, and then you walk through the blue curtains, and then there's the holy place where the lampstand is, where the altar of incense is, and where the table of showbread is. And last week we talked about the priesthood. Do you remember that we are God's priests now, and we bring incense in our prayers, and that is what the priest did there, just in front of the final room. And once a year the priest would enter to the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. And he would walk in there with a basin of blood, and he would sprinkle, I don't know if it was how he carried it, the basin or jug or whatever, but he would sprinkle the blood on that Ark to make atonement for the sin of the people and say that the law, the way of life that we have messed up somehow during this year, because all of us have, is covered by the blood. He had to burn incense there as well. One of the things that I read about, one of the notes about the incense was that he had to make a lot of smoke because when the glory of God came, he wasn't supposed to see all the glory of God. He just had to see something dim there. Experience the presence of God, but not all of the glory of God. That's what one of the notes said. Rick, you can go to the next one. We talked about that last week. Go to the next one. That's how the temple, it's a picture of the temple, how the temple looked in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple that was destroyed and then it was rebuilt again. I think there's another picture of that one. Once again, you see it's the same picture. That's how the holy place and the most holy place looked. That time it was built of solid brick. You read about that in the book of Kings, and you read about the dedication of the temple of Solomon. Go to the next one. That's just a depiction of, you know, people coming and doing exactly the same thing. Another picture, and I want you just to hold it there. So I'm not sure how this process worked in numbers, but there's a picture that I want to bring over today. And I'm going to read you this. Keep all of those pictures in mind, specifically this one with the people around there and the fire going up, the offering, animal sacrifices that go up. God said it's a sweet-smelling aroma. This week I actually read that if you read in Leviticus, you see that they add spices to that, to the fire to make it actually literally smell nice, not just to God, but to the people around. I don't know if you have smelled burnt flesh, you know, braai vleis ruik lekker, you know, but if you burn the skin and you burn some parts of the animal, it doesn't smell nice. Okay, but I want to read you this now. 1 Kings 8, it says, "Then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. Solomon offered a peace offering. Solomon offered as peace offerings to the Lord 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Now, think about this. I did my research. A human body contains about 4.5 to 5 liters of blood. An ox contains anything between 40 to 50 liters. That's like two paint, you know, these big paint cans? That's like 20 liters each. So it's two, or maybe it's a big one, three of them. Hannes, clink all right. It's a lot of blood. One ox. Multiply by 22,000. Sheep. sheep's blood, it's about 10 to 15 liters, depending on the size. It's a big sheep. It's not a lamb. Lamb's obviously smaller. Point I'm trying to make is, that's a lot of blood. Some commentator asked, how were they able to slaughter that many animals? And somebody calculated and said they had to slaughter an animal or two or more every 6 seconds. Because they did this for 7 days. So the king and all the people of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. The same day, the king consecrated the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered the burnt offerings and the grain offerings and the fat pieces of the peace offerings. Because the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to receive the burnt offerings and the grain offerings and the fat pieces of the peace offerings. One commentator wrote, I was like, why are they separating the fat and the intestines and everything? And then he just said, well, it's practical. Fat burns. You've done sculpture piece with fat. If the heat's too much, you it's that flame. It's a practical way. It's just to make the fire burn better. They smart, these guys. God smart. They just followed the instructions. Next one, 2 Chronicles 35. Josiah kept the Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem. And they slaughtered the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the first month. That's what one lamb. He appointed the priests to the officers and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. And he said to the Levites, who taught all Israel and who were holy to the Lord, put the holy ark in the house of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, that the king of Israel built. You need to carry it on your shoulders. Now serve the Lord your God and his people Israel. Prepare yourselves according to your father's houses by your divisions as prescribed in the writing of David, king of Israel, and the document of Solomon, his son. And stand in the holy place according to the groupings of the father's houses of your brothers, the lay people, and according to the divisions of the Levites by father's households. And slaughter the Passover lamb and consecrate yourselves and prepare for your brothers to do according to the word of the Lord by Moses. Then Josiah contributed to the lay people as a Passover offerings for all who were presented, lambs and young goats from the flocks to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bulls. These were for the king's possessions, from the king's possessions. And his officials contributed willingly to the people, to the priests and to the Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Yehiel, the chief officers of the house of God, gave to the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 Passover lambs and 300 bulls. Kunaniah also, and Shemaiah, and Nathaniel, and all these difficult numbers, Frank, and John, and Peter, and Jack, and Pete, the chiefs of the Levites, would have been much easier if they had names like that, of the Levites, gave to the Levites for the Passover offerings 5,000 lambs and young goats and 500 bulls. Point I'm trying to make is these guys, they killed a lot of animals. Next one. According to the Talmud, a Jewish religious text, the city's economic heart was the Holy Temple, the only place where Israelites could sacrifice animals as offerings to God. Parts of the animals that were sacrificed as a burnt offering were often left for the people to feast on. Some passages in the text depict priests wading up to their knees in blood, and others describe 1.2 million animals being slaughtered on one day. And the ancient Jewish historian Flavius Josephus also describes an enormous slaughtering operation. But historians wonder whether these depictions were hyperbole or fact. So that's the internet. I didn't read that in the Bible. But that is what historians speculate. That on Passover, there were so many animals slaughtered that it became industrial. And if you go and do some research, you find that the temple itself was actually built in such a way to be able to handle all the blood. Now, whether they really walked knee deep, some people would say ankle deep, some people probably would say, well, no, there was just a lot of blood. You can think that. And even if it was just one animal that had to pour out 40 liters, I don't know who of you have been on a farm that saw the slaughtering of an animal, a sheep or whatever. Don't think bad of me. but I've killed the sheep, cut off his neck, and there's a lot of blood. Comes out. Sorry for the graphic, but that's the point of today. I want you guys to become graphic. Because we hear about sacrifice and we think, sacrifice. It's a bloody mess. So I'm not sure how it looked in the temple. When it was the tabernacle, it was on ground. It actually was a rule of God that the blood must touch the ground. And they would move on to another place. Maybe they would scrape up the dry blood and they would move it out. I don't know how they handled the hygiene. I was asking myself, the flies. What about all the flies? You know, of the blood. How did they clean up that? Some people say that the temple of Solomon and the other temple was so designed that around the altar there was this, what do you mean, sluit? A trench. Yes, a trench. Okay, and you actually see that Elijah, when he built his altar, he dig a trench around it and he filled it with water. And maybe that he saw it somewhere. Maybe it was a thing that they did. But that's what some of the people say, and archaeologists said they found that the temple of Jerusalem around the altar had this trench that caught up the blood eventually, and this trench was plugged up. Okay, and they would actually on Passover allow the blood to gather and spill over. So there's a picture. Was hy van die voete? Hy's te vinnig gewees. Okay, jy doen goed, Ryk. As I talk, you get them graphic. So we don't know if it was like this. But I imagine it to be like this. A lot of blood. If a lot of animals were sacrificed, and even if it wasn't happening there at the temple, the point I'm trying to make is that ever since the creation of man, I don't want to exaggerate, but I would say trillions of sacrifices, blood sacrifices have been made. Some of them towards the living God, and some of them towards some pagan god, some other god. Some of them directed by God, do this. This is what I want. I need blood. The point I'm trying to make, a lot of blood. And what the guys say is that when the feast was over, they would unplug the plugs around that altar. And there was a system of a water system. So it's almost like irrigation. That was like, like that. But they opened something that allowed a lot of water to rush into that area and to help them clean up that place. And that water would then, through channels, flow, touch, eventually it would touch the soil like God commanded. So that is a creative depiction again of maybe it ran down like that. Next one. And then maybe they talk about the Kidron River. It's a small little stream that ran past the temple there in Jerusalem. So I'm not sure if it's the temple or it's the city. But the point is the stream ran past there and the water would run in that and then it would flow away. Okay, so whether all of this is fact-checked or not, I ask you guys to help me. When I'm wrong about this, you come and say, listen, next time you preach about that, take that one out. I found this one, put this in. I talked to my uncle Larry. He's working at the University of so-and-so. He's an archaeologist and a biblical scholar. Don't make a fool of yourself again. But you see what I'm trying to say. A lot of blood. A lot of blood. A lot of blood. A lot of slaughtering. A lot of placing your hand on an animal and transferring your sin. A lot, a lot, a lot. Over and over and over again. A lot of penance, a lot of guilt getting rid of. I want to read you this, Isaiah 53. Probably going to cry again. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no formal majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten. That means to be struck or defeated by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement, the punishment that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people? And they made this grave with the wicked, made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. So the next one is a parental guidance. Passion of the Christ. Reiki, can I bring you opposite? A lot of blood. Kan die volgende ook opsit? The Israelites, they had to give something dear from their own flock. God the Father gave his dearest for us. Dit het hom iets gekos. It cost him everything. It's actually amazing if you think about it. Jesus is God. So God the Father made that sacrifice. He represented us on the one side where he associated with us, but he also gave himself. God gave himself. He gave all of himself for us. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. John 18, 28. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. John 19, verse 4. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns, and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." John 19, verse 14. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. Pilate comes and he prophesies, "Behold, the man." And then again he comes out and he prophesies, "Behold, your king." Jesus was 100% man, 100% flesh, 100% able to associate with you and me and our brokenness and our sin and every aspect of our lives. There's nothing that we can accuse God of saying, "God, you do not know. God, you do not understand." He understands more than 100%. He associates more than 100%. Pilate says, "Behold your king." And we have a choice. Free will. The way of life, the way to fulfill the commandments of God is through the king. Because God gave his all. I don't know how many lambs or animals were slaughtered exactly that year. Because they were slaughtering animals. They went through their sacrifices while Jesus was crucified. But Jesus fulfilled every single thing that God desired in those sacrifices. I think I said it last year, last week, Charles Spurgeon, who said, if there was a million other worlds, and I want to add to that, on which trillions and trillions of sacrifices were made, Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ was enough to cover all of those sins. Because it's the blood of God that was spilled for us. It is the love of God that was poured out for us. I'm going to start to close now. When we talk about the altar call, our hearts come into play. And when I talk about an altar call, I'm not just talking about what happens here in church. I talk about what happens in life. Whenever the Spirit of God calls you to slaughter something in your life, we have a choice. Will I obey or will I entertain the sin a little bit longer, a little bit more? Will I entertain this habit a little bit longer, a little bit more? Or will I slaughter it? Will I look at what Jesus Christ has done for me on the cross and say, "Lord, you've done all the heavy lifting. You've sent your Spirit. All I have to do is to obey. All I have to do is repent. All I have to do is forgive. All I have to do is renounce. All I have to do is rebuke." Come on, people. We are not intentional about getting rid of the wrong ways of life. We are more intentional to come in agreement with this world and with the devil and with our flesh than we are to come in agreement with the living God, who gave his dearest for each one of us. Not just for this generation, but the generation to come as well. Isaiah 1, verse 11. "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me unless they are offerings of the heart? Says the Lord, I have had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts without obedience. And I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats without righteousness. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you that your unholy feet trample my courts? Bring no more offerings of vanity, emptiness, falsity, vainglory, and futility. Your hollow offerings of incense and abomination to me, the new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure its iniquity and profanation, even the solemn meetings. Your new moon festivals and your hypocritical appointed feast, my soul hates. They are an oppressive burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. And when you spread forth your hands in prayer, imploring help, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do right, seek justice, relieve the oppressed and correct the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the food of the land, the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now that was in Isaiah before Jesus came. And Jesus made the way so that our sin can be washed away. Why are we celebrating Pentecost today? Why are we able to celebrate Pentecost today? Because of the slaughter of Jesus Christ. There is an empty grave. There is a risen Christ. There is an ascended Christ. And there is a Christ who is now our high priest. Jesus is doing intercession for us in heaven right now. He was slaughtered for us. He was, and I want you to see that picture through the tabernacle or the temple. It was His blood on that altar. The basin in which the priests cleanse themselves. We are baptized in Christ Jesus. And then He leads us into the holy place. And then He is the high priest that forever walks into the holy place and make absolute atonement for our sins once and for all. And He tears the veil and He says, you have access. And I'm afraid some of us, we still don't grasp it. It's a revelation that we need. It's a revelation that we should be hungry for. It's a revelation that we should call from God and say, Lord, I want to feel it. I want to know it daily. That you have washed me. And because I am in Christ Jesus, because I have confessed with my mouth, because I believe in my heart, not just one time at some service somewhere because the evangelist called you to an altar call. Because daily I can stand up and I can say, I am blood washed and I am purified and my conscience is clean. And when the enemy comes and attack you because you messed up somewhere, you can remind him and say, my Jesus was slaughtered. His blood is more than enough and sufficient for whatever little sin I committed now. He cleansed me. He washed me. So footsack Satan. My conscience is clean because the blood of Jesus not only covers, it totally cleans. It washes away my sin. Romans 6 verse 10, it's not on the slides. The death, He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Hebrews 7, read it last week as well, verse 22. This makes Jesus the guarantee of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But He holds His priesthood permanently because He continues forever. Consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Today is Pentecost because everything in the world, in the Old Testament, pointed to Jesus. Jesus was born. He lived in this world. Showed us how to live the way died on the cross. He was slaughtered on that cross. He spilled all his blood. Everything, everything for this world. His love was poured out. His life was poured out because life is in the blood. God gave his life. God gave his blood. God gave us love. And his love cleanses us. His love empowers us. His love heals us. His love encourages us. Today is Pentecost. Acts 2, verse 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are afar off. That means children's children as well. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as many had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. Romans 12 verse 1 says, En reik gooi vir my daai prentjie op van die tannie met haar shopping mandjie asseblief. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Some of the things I've read a little bit out of context. So go and read the scriptures before and after that. But what I want to bring home today is, it's not only Sundays that God calls us to the altar. When you are shopping, there might be some guilt somewhere. Just take a moment and say, Lord, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I repent of this. God, I'm jealous because that guy, he just came by with a trolley so full of shopping. And I only have this clean mindkey because it's end of the month. I'm so jealous of his shopping. Forgive me. Little things, micro repentances, if we all add them together, we live holy lives. You're gymming. Not your name is Jimmy, you are gymming. Guys, and here she walks past in her skimpy clothing that should be illegal, but it's here. And you lust. Turn away. Jesus, there's some beautiful booty there, Lord. But please forgive me. I am not a fornicator. I am not an adulterer. I want to have a holy sexual life. I repent, Lord, of this pornography that just took place here. Forgive me. And then you pray for your wife if you're not married and you want one. If you're in the office and your temper flares up because a colleague or a phone call or whatever, You know those teleprompter phone thingies that irritate you like that, and sometimes they get through and then they want to sell you something? Yo. Druk my in die rooi. Lord, I'm sorry that I got angry. Langs die rugbyveld. God, I lost my cool. Forgive me. Wherever in life we go, let us live holy lives because of what Jesus has done for us. And let us help one another, not in guilt, but into freedom. Jesus paid the price for our freedom. Let us live that holy lives. Can we stand in this place this morning? I'm so willing to pray with you today. But I'm not going to make a traditional altar call. I'm not. I want you to go home and to take time and to do business with God. Because somehow we've turned the church, I don't know, into this place where we think repentance or whatever is only available on a Sunday. I should suffer and sit with guilt from, I don't know, Sunday after church until next week. Christ is available 24/7. He's praying for us. Let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, I want to pray, Lord, for every heart that is hardened. I want to pray, Father God, for every aspect of our lives that has become distracted, that has become calloused. Dit beteken daar's rowe oor jou hart, dat dit hard geword. I want to pray, Father God, that you will soften that, Lord. We bring our conscience to you, Lord. When we say, speak into that, Lord. We bring our imaginations to you and we say, Lord, speak into that. We bring our thoughts to you and we say, Lord, speak into that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we are not a guilt-ridden nation. We are not a guilt-ridden people. We are part of your holy nation. We are free. And God, I want to pray, Lord, for more moments, Lord, corporately and individually, Lord, where we had like today, Lord, just in your presence, Lord. I want to pray, God, that yes, it can be a celebration on a Sunday, Lord, but it will be our lifestyle as well, Lord. That we will be quick to repent, Lord, whether we feel or whether we don't feel. We obey, we make the choice. Jesus, I thank you for your goodness. I just want to read the words of the song that we're going to sing now. This Afrikaans, the song, we're going to sing this song in Afrikaans, but I know there's some English people here. And I want all of us to experience how, yes, we are singing it, but the Spirit of God, He's singing it over us, and we are singing it over one another. It doesn't matter in which language it's sung. The words in English says, the Lord bless you and preserve you. He shine his face upon you. May he show mercy. The Lord turn his face to you. May he give you peace. May his favor rest upon your life and 1,000 generations, your family and your children and their children and their children. May his peace go before you, standing behind you and standing next to you. It surrounds you. He is in you. He is with you. He is with you. In the morning and the evenings, in all your doings, in your sorrow, in your joy, He is for you. He is for you.
Here is in in Bavaria skyn sy aangesig oor jou genade is Here draai sy gesig na jou mag hy jou vreeg Here is in jou in Bavaria skyn sy aangesig oor jou mag hy genade bewys Here draai sy gesig na jou mag hy jou vreer geef
Just put your hand on somebody next to you
generaties, jou familie en jou kinders, en al kinders en al kinders, se vrede, jou vooruitgang, agter jou staan, en langs jou staan, het omring jou, hy is in jou, hy is met jou, hy is met jou, in die ochend, in die aande, in jou toene, in jou late, in jou hartse, jou vreugde, hy is vir jou, hy is vir jou.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were slaughtered for us. And Jesus, thank you that you defeated death for us. And that you now rule and reign and do intercession for us. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you, God, that we can receive that blessing today, Lord. For this generation and the next, Lord. May the good news of Jesus Christ be proclaimed, Lord, by our words, by our deeds, Lord, by our way of life. May you be glorified. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, have some coffee. Remember, you're part of the holy priesthood. If there's somebody here that, you know, you really want somebody to pray with you, you can ask anyone who has given their life to Jesus to pray with you. Or I'll be hanging around here in front. I'd love to pray with you guys. Have a very blessed Sunday.